Before we pray, I want to survey who has not sung that song before. We're doing something different. Change. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for always being with us. Thanks for naming us and claiming us in our baptisms and never, ever letting us go. We're looking at your book and a song today, Lord. Help us to learn today what it is that you need to have us learn so we indeed can be of maximum service to you and to others. In your name, Jesus, amen. Hi, Charlie, how are you? Nice to see you. Don't you love kids? Oh, it's so great. If he makes noise, so what? So we're continuing our summer series, Singing Our Faith. Sunday, we're looking at this song that we hardly ever sing at Mount Olivet, Lift Every Voice and Sing, What's That? And then Pastor Hammerson just read Psalm 137. Now, if you want to have a different education once you leave here, go home and look at the rest of Psalm 137. It's brutal. Absolutely brutal. Maybe we've talked about that before, but I don't think we've ever talked about Psalm 137 in church. Of course, I might not have been paying attention. So, what do you say? There's hard words there. And it points out something that we sometimes forget when we read the Bible. Throughout biblical literature, the words are of a community, if you will, torn apart by the ravages of a foreign, evil empire. Right? All the stuff these people have gone through. These words reflect the sheer anguish and anger on the part of these people who've been trodden upon and discarded by the powerful. Right? Now, some of this stuff's going to be on the final, so pay attention. The psalm comes from the Babylonian exile, right? It started out about 586 before Jesus was born. Israel's in a really, really terrible war, which they lose. And the Holy Temple in Jerusalem, the symbol of their pride and the source of national identity, was destroyed. Most of the citizens were forced to march hundreds of miles into Babylon. They were separated from each other, torn apart. They had to make up their own lives in a completely different way. Strange land, foreign land, strange people, unfamiliar culture, different language, strange gods. These Israelites who were once slaves in Egypt are now slaves again in a foreign land. Verse 1, Pastor Hammerson read it so beautifully. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion. Personal question. Ready? Don't have to answer it. How are you doing with grief? They tell me that to get through grief, I need to tell the truth about how much it hurts. They wept. They wept. They didn't mask their grief over what had been lost. Of course, you know, we'd rather skip this whole thing about grief, wouldn't we? Faith teaches us that we don't have to be bouncy and smiley all the time. I know that's weird coming out of my mouth, because I'm a little bouncy and smiley all the time. Ecclesiastes tells us what? There's a time to mourn. Mourning's not a sign of faithlessness. Paul said it so beautifully. I think it's in 1 Corinthians 4. He says, we grieve, but not as those who have no hope. We have hope in the promise of Jesus Christ's resurrection. We do. And guess what? When we deny grief, don't deal with it, there's usually consequences for that. Can get you to have gray hair and a bad mustache. Maybe some of the mustache might not apply. Yet all of us, it can eat away at us, it can harm us, and we all have a different way of grieving. I think the point is that I'm trying to say is, let it out. Let it out. This song that we know so well, Lift Every Voice and Sing, people can be unified through music. True, yes. We can also be introduced to other cultures, other music. We can experience the harmonies of liberty that stole that from the verse. Sadness and happiness connect each other, the voices from the past, the present, the future. What does it say in the hymn? Full of the faith that the dark past has brought us, taught us, and full of the hope that the present time has brought us. Love that. First time I heard Lift Every Voice and Sing was over 30 years ago, right? At a synod convention. Anyone ever been to a synod convention? Come on, show of hands. Aren't those riveting? I'm online. Oh, they're going to see me online. Synod convention. You know what's at synod conventions? Lots of clergy. And you know, clergy, we're a lot like fertilizer. You spread us out, we can do some good stuff. You get a bunch of us in one place. Whew. Oh. Just saying. We sometimes our egos show up before we do. I love the Washington, D.C. area. I was working at a church called Lord of Life in Fairfax County. If you ever go out to D.C., make sure you go to Lord of Life. Great place. They love Jesus. I loved about D.C. was no one was from there. They were all foreigners in a foreign land. It didn't look like what I grew up in at all. You know, I'm a little white, spoiled brat from Edina, right? I go to Washington, D.C. I walk down the mall. I hear different languages I've never heard before. I've seen people I've never seen before. It was fascinating. And you get to know people quicker in D.C. because they're either going to get transferred or stationed somewhere else in about 3 to 4 years. So you make friends quickly. You get to the point. Different languages, different cultures didn't look like each other. We didn't talk like each other. And we seemed to get along. And one thing nice about D.C., if you get close enough, you can hear a little sound of like almost a vacuum. That's where all the tax dollars are going. Anyway, a lot of clergy, wonderful worship service. I hear this music, a bunch of probably junior high or high school black students get up in front and lead us in the song. I'm in the going, and then all of a sudden, this starts to go. And, you know, I'm the guy that continued to cry at Hallmark card commercials, but talk about powerful, powerful music. Oof. Lift every voice and sing. It's a hymn of hope. It's grounded in the belief that resilient faith will sustain us against oppression. It's truly a great work, almost an impromptu deal as well. Started out this way, if I did my reading right, January of 1900. Anyone alive in 1900? No, I know we're not that old. James Weldon Johnson was a principal at a school in Jacksonville, Florida. It was a segregated school called Stanton School. He was thinking about one way at this assembly that he's planning to honor President Lincoln. What can we do? What can we do? What can we do? So he thought, I can write a poem. So he's starting to write a poem, celebrate Lincoln's birthday. And then a better idea occurred to him. His brother, Rosamond Johnson, was a composer. And he wrote music all the time. And they thought, well, let's put these words to music. So James is going inside, giving the music to his brother who's playing the piano. He comes back and it's great. Back and forth, lift every voice. A couple more stories about these characters. Rosamond was very busy creating music, triumphant, noble, uplifting music. And guess what? On February 12th, 1900, 500 youngsters from Stanton School made the first performance of Lift Every Voice and Sing. Can you imagine? 500 kids, black kids, singing. Oh. Lift Every Voice and Sing has become now known as the Black National Anthem. You see, the Johnson brothers were grandchildren of slaves. Raised in a Christian home, their mom was what? Taught Sunday school and a director of choir for years, their dad, pastor. James goes on to state in his biography that he considered himself to be an agnostic. Odd. He loved reading the Bible, thought it was a wonderful book, greatest book written. He also enjoyed going to church and listening to preachers preach, and he even did some teaching and preaching himself. Young man, but being an agnostic, he thought this, as he describes it, his words, quote, "The teachings of Jesus Christ to be the loftiest ethical and spiritual concept the human mind has ever born," close quote. Story goes on. James Weldon Johnson recounts writing this particular song. He said the first verse, first line came really easy. Then he had to grind out the next couple of lines. Nothing was coming. And then he got to that line that said, "Sing a song." It's then, as he said, the Spirit overwhelmed him. The words flowed both through agony and ecstasy until he reached that third verse. He was so overwhelmed, he said, that the tears would not stop. He described it as a transporting experience. I think we can say that the song reminds us of how our feet can stray from the place of freedom when we first met Christ Jesus or first came to believe in Christ. Yes, we can still stray, because you know what? We're all sinners. We can become so drunk with the lust of worldly things that our actions are no longer guided by the Holy Spirit. The song reminds us that Christians, we must first and foremost be true to our God, true to our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ through faith. We can say the song encourages us to remember the truth of the past, the truth that in spite of the struggles and trials, there will be restoration and glory given to God. Thanks for worshiping today.